Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at over at itpro.tv. You can find a free offer with itpro.tv/ring. Yes, or links, places. Paul,
I have to go into detox after a week-long visit with my alcoholic friends from Boston.
Well, based on your Instagram, I thought you were going to say a detox of cheesesteaks, because like you ate all of them.
They'd never been to Philly, so there was the great cheesesteak debate. I'll just end this debate by saying I feel bad for Philly that this is all they have to their name, because, you know, no offense, Philly, but like anyone can make a cheesesteak sandwich. Also, the most prominent sports figure in the city is a character from a movie who was fictional and has a statue on the steps of an art museum, which I mean, come on. But they're really proud of their one-and-done championship over the Patriots a few years back. I'd have to go look at the tape, but I think the Patriots won a few more than one. But, you know, great sports town. Good history, though.
Any other ways you can slam Philly while we're here? Like,
I can do that now. I live here.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That's how that works. It's okay. I'm a Pennsylvanian, you know? I earned that right.
Did you?
No. Not really.
I think that's one of the challenges or problems, whatever. Like, if you're a place known for a food, it's not hard to, like, make... I mean, it's hard to make good food, like, consistently and at scale. That is absolutely a skill. But, like, cheesesteaks, for example. Like, it's a cheesesteak.
Anyone can make a cheesesteak. The Gino's Cheesecake, Gino's being one of the famous places, is a steak-em, if you've ever grown up on such food. It's flat, frozen pieces of steak, I guess.
Yeah.
That you slap on a grill and they cook in, like, 30 seconds. You know, it's Yeah, it was fine. I mean, but I get a decent cheesesteak at the ballpark here. I mean, I used to, you know, Boston area, I think it's still around, but D'Angelo's was like a local chain of sub shops. Awesome cheesesteak. I mean, but then again, you know, what's Boston known for? Like baked beans? I mean, come on.
I would have guessed clam chowder.
Yeah, no, there's more than that, of course. And that's why Boston is the better
baked beans. No. come to Boston, get your beans.
Your beans and chowder, you'll be fine. Just make sure you're always near a toilet.
That would be a heck of a lunch, wouldn't it? Be like, what'd you eat for lunch? Brutal. Beans and...
Yeah, you'd be making that phone call into an inner sanctum because that person's not walking anywhere. I don't know. Well, good seafood, obviously. Although, you know, for whatever it's worth, at Lehigh Valley, we're nowhere near water. Awesome seafood here. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think they've... logistics, I think, have been figured out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways. Stadia,
I know. Every time you see anything about Stadia, it's like,
I read your headline, which Paul Thurrott's headline is, Google makes Stadia more attractive to developers, which my tweet response was, by killing it.
I briefly toyed with this headline. Let me just read exactly what it is. Google makes Stadia more attractive to developers, comma, a low bar. I have to say, for all of the doom and gloom and the reasonable expectations that Google will kill this based on their prior history, they do kind of continually provide updates and improvements and expand it to more clients. They've improved the technical capabilities. I still think they're kind of right at the leading edge of this stuff now compared to Luna or Xbox, what's it called, cloud gaming. Doesn't get a lot of love, you know. But honestly, it's a good service. And the changes they made, which are, you know, financial changes with regards to sales through the Stadia store. And then I think this is random. I don't think there's a comparable to this. But developers who target Stadia and have games played through Stadia will get engagement-based payments that represent the vast majority of the revenue from that Stadia Pro subscription. I have to look it up. I think it's 70%. So... you know, that's the equivalent of, I guess, a stream on Spotify, and we know that those developers don't get a lot of money. But 70% of Stadia Pro must be $9.99 a month. Mm-hmm. 70% of that, so $7 of that will go to in a percentage basis on, you know, the game to the makers of the games that those people play.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me. I mean, that's.
It's never been the technology. Nobody's ever, I mean, there were maybe some questions at some point, but Google has good tech for this stuff.
Yeah.
The problem is that the service just isn't a compelling offering compared to existing platforms yet. And the question is, will Google last longer than the yet part?
Yeah, I mean, the two extremes here are mobile platforms that have a billion games of all mostly casual nature that people can play in line or in commuting and blah, blah, blah. And then the really hardcore dedicated stuff, which is still dominated by PCs and consoles. And Stadia is kind of in the middle. You know, it has some of those really good games. It has probably some casual games, not the same things you'd see on mobile, I guess. Requires an internet connection, obviously. I know, you know. But even in my little meanderings around eastern Pennsylvania recently, there were times where I'm like, I don't have a connection here for some reason, you know. So I guess it depends on your situation. I don't know what that audience is. I don't know what you call that. I mean, mainstream on one end. No. Oh. Unless they've solved that underwater problem. Maybe they have. Maybe they're using whale sonar for all I know. Anyway.
Whale sonar. Yes, Stadia, powered by whale sonar. That's a good ring to
you
it.
You never know. It's a good service. I it's unclear, like I said, who it targets, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, they've lost all the key personnel.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things like I feel like I think they should keep it. I feel like it could succeed. I don't know, not maybe to the level of Xbox or PlayStation, but
yeah. No. I don't know. Other things happening. Phil Spencer did an interview with The Guardian, and one of the more interesting tidbits, there's a couple ways this is interesting, at least to me, is he wants to expand the Xbox Early Access program. Now, technically, Microsoft has this already for Xbox, like a preview program, but in Phil Spencer's own words, it's very, very, very small. One of the challenges, which isn't explicitly mentioned in his interview, is that Early Access games, which are really popular on Steam, are obviously unfinished, alpha, crash a whole lot. Put that type of a game or product onto a locked ecosystem like a console is kind of risky in some regards, because it's one, it's unstable. They don't want to open it up to additional potential hacks, or I don't know if you could hack it through the game or whatever. But it's not as lucrative as just running it on a PC. But now that Microsoft has this fancy-dancy cloud streaming stuff, you could think and imagine a scenario where they have an early access program that you just stream it only, and you can get feedback and do all sorts of stuff through their streaming platform and not open up the platforms to potential issues with unstable games.
Yeah. this doesn't happen every single time, but a lot of times when we get access to, like, say, Microsoft Studio games early through like an early access thing, those games can't be upgraded to the final thing. And you download this multi-gigabyte thing to your hard drive, you play it hopefully, and then if you want to get the final version, you actually have to, it's like another thing, like another app, almost kind of like when you do like an early access Call of Duty beta and it's a couple of multiplayer levels, blah blah blah. That's not the game. Like, you're not going to upgrade that to Call of Duty. You have to get rid of that. So yeah, no, that solves the problem nicely right there.
Yeah. So other things, Paul, that can solve your problem, if you're thinking that Windows 11 is going to let me change this. There we go. If you're thinking you don't have enough skills in the IT Pro department, itpro.tv is a skills development platform. You can upskill yourself. They have hundreds of hours of content that feels more like a conversation and less like just being yelled at and taught. It's a really interactive way to learn and upskill yourself, especially as we move into a hybrid world. They have plenty of sessions and classrooms and technologies and anything else you want to learn about and to upskill your IT Pro skills. You can go over to itpro.tv/ring for an offer exclusive to First Ring Daily members, or listeners, I should say, 5,800 plus hours of training.
I have a question.
Do you?
It looks like you moved that logo over so your big head wouldn't be blocking it. Did you actually make that change?
I did.
That's good.
Look at this. Look how professional I am now, Paul. Look. So you can see it does it there. Is I tried to match the similar gray so we don't get that blast of a camera. Like that does?
Yeah, that's a little fade.
Mm-hmm. Because the white balance changes. That's how much professional I am, Paul. Big head here. I mean, logo there.
A better solution might have been put in the screen in front of your face. Too much. I don't know.
That's what I work with every day, people. Try to make positive changes and it just knocks you down. Not really, but Firefox 90's out for Firefox 90 fans.
Yeah, this one, you know, obviously they just did the big UI change. So there's nothing major in this one. There's some it's kind of an interesting improvement to their private browsing functionality, which I think is just called smart browsing probably or whatever. But you know, they block trackers and whatnot. But I guess one of the things they were missing was if you were using a third party, or if a site was using a third party Facebook login plugin, that would actually bypass that, and Facebook could track you through that, which is crazy. But anyway, they've solved that problem, so you can have the cake and eat it too, as they say.
And France solved its problem by finding Google, and
yeah, that's going to be an ongoing drama.
Yeah,
this is just, you know, countries are all going to be rallying for the best possible position for their publishing companies now, because mm-hmm. Google, what, last year caved to Australia first. You know, remember, there's like, yeah, might just cut off Google search in Australia, see how that teaches them. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, we cave. You know, so now every country in Europe, especially to start, is like, yeah, we like the money too.
Yes.
As much as we like to see you stealing our content.
It's relatable.
Yeah.
That's
Google's careening toward becoming a public utility. I don't. No, I mean, they have so many antitrust concerns. Like, mm-hmm. it's crazy. Like, as strongly as I feel about Apple and how terrible they are, I mean, I think inarguably Google's the bigger problem because of what they do, you know?
Right.
The reach that they have, cross-platform, every device imaginable, the sheer necessity of some of their services, like search and maps, and just this horrible background tracking that, you know, they built into Chrome for the desktop and Android for mobile. I mean, I don't know. This is the concern.
Well, to put it into some perspective for people who may not necessarily, I mean, people get why, but I spend probably 2 to 3 hours every week looking at our SEO for our sites and trying to make sure that we are on the right path. Nick and I have a standing meeting every single week, because if Google just one day decides that Petri or Therat isn't good enough to be on page one, it could quite literally collapse the business tomorrow. If we wake up and Google says, you know what, your sites suck, you're done.
Yeah. On that note, let me just point out that Google is the best company on earth and we love them. And everything I just said before is complete nonsense. You should let them track you. It's all fine.
Yeah.
Did that help?
I don't know. We'll see if it boosts us up, or if Google kicks you out of Google News. Like, it's... For companies that depend on search, Google is the gatekeeper of your business, and they can imagine if you went to Google, like, behind closed doors and said, you know what, for $1 million, give me just 10 search results that I'm number one. It would overnight change your business.
If you haven't done it, you should read that recent book about Amazon and Jeff Bezos. I forget the name of it. I'm sorry, but it was written by a guy who had written a previous book about
Brad something or other at Bloomberg. Yeah, I think
Brad Stone, maybe.
Brad Stone, yeah.
Maybe. And it's excellent. But among the many things in this book that are it's just chapter, it's every time you're like, oh my God, I'm like, you know, it's fascinating. But one of the big changes at Amazon over the past, you know, 5 years or so that hasn't gotten a lot of press is they've allowed advertising into their site, which is crazy when you think about it, because they sell stuff, you know, whatever. But Jeff Bezos had to be really convinced that this was something that they could do without ruining the user experience and blah, 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 whatever. So now when you look for things on Amazon, you get like sponsored results and all that stuff. And of course, I'm sure their results are as artificial as Google's. They can promote stuff that they want to, et cetera. But, you know, the effect, and this is something I saw recently. I might have told this story already, but my NAS had a red light on it, and I looked it up, and it was like one of the bays was, I thought the drive was bad. So I looked up like how much it would have cost to replace I think it's a 6 terabyte drive, because it does some kind of a rate 0 probably, whatever. And I looked on Amazon, and it was like $150, and I was like, okay, let me just play around with this. I saw ads for this it's very specific. It's like a NAS specific WD drive. I've seen ads. Now I don't, but at the time I saw ads for the next 5-7 days everywhere, like on the internet. And it's like, this is the side effect of Amazon getting into ads, you know? And it's like, Jesus, like, it's just bad. And by the way, the drive's fine. I eventually finally just signed into the console, and it's like, you just need to balance the drives. You click a button, it's like, it's fine. Drive's healthy. So I didn't have to spend any money.
Yeah.
But I did have to get those stupid ads, because, you know, that's our world.
It is the world that we live in. Speaking of the world that we live in, later today, depending on when you listen to this, Microsoft will be hosting their Inspire conference, which there will be some information coming out, which will be discussed tomorrow. But yes, for now,
Yes, yes, yes.
But for now, you should head on over to itpro.tv. Go to itpro.tv/ring. You can find links in the descriptions. And we'll catch all of you right back here tomorrow.
Tomorrow.